Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Carla Maxted.
She, her, that is me today playing Nerixus Acra, better known as Glim, just a little baby version.
And Amy Moore.
Yep, that's me, she, her, and I will be playing Sullivan Slight, the baby, and he, him.
And Tom Laird, vamp for a little bit. I forgot my notes on the page in the other room.
Absolutely, Russ. He, him, that's me. I am playing Moot, who is the big boy of the group and also goes by he, him. What else can we talk
Sullivan's
about, guys?
Like, well, Russ offended. Is. Wait, you just said that.
What do you mean?
Sully
how tall
feels
is
like
he?
He's the big boy.
Glim is
I mean,
also
not
very
as tall,
tall
as he once was.
I think Glim's taller. Let's.
Oh, I assume.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that sounds
maybe.
Like quality vamping. Great.
We're just back.
Yeah, we did it.
Character
we did it,
fighting.
Guys.
Joining us from across the pond, from many other shows, Madam Magenta and Mockery Manor and their new Magenta Presents, it's Madam Magenta.
Hello. Do I say something here?
Yeah, I think probably that's a good idea.
Right. She, her, I'm playing Gorilla. Is that how you say it? That sounds like a dog saying gorilla. Is that the name of my character? That,
yeah, that's however you pronounce it.
Gorilla
is okay. Now how we pronounce
Gorilla.
It.
Yep. Okay, that's me.
And I am also here. Hello, I'm Bernard.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to forget you, Bernard. Yes, yeah, so you're here too.
I mean, you know, that's fine. I'm aware that I live very much in the shadow of my wonderful wife here.
That's right.
So I am playing Yeva, who I note is an extremely large chap. I assume he's a he-him like
oh,
me.
Oh, I'm small. Should I say that?
You could do,
apparently.
Yes. Well, so I'm playing Yeva the Goliath Barbarian. Mm. It's exceedingly masculine. I'm not entirely sure I'm comfortable with this.
This is the first time you're bigger than me, Bernard.
Well, that's true.
It's exciting, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Normally, I'm the strong one. And you're the
And I'm the sort of bardic musician type,
yes,
sensitive
yes.
musician type.
But this time it's the other way around. Very exciting.
Very clever. It's amazing, this role-play business, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we're very accustomed to it, to be honest. But
mainly
in very specific scenarios.
We
do have a
that.
Dungeon, though, don't we?
Yes. We do, yes, we do.
And that's the show, all right, everybody?
No, we did it.
Yes, no, and that's exactly what we wanted. You know, role play, you're doing something different. And like you say in Madam Magenta, you like to step outside the bounds. So that's what we wanted to do for you here today.
I think it's very important to push yourself out of comfort zones.
Always.
Which is how come we're playing D&D today.
Although we are wearing blankets, so
that's
we're
true.
Also very comfortable.
We're so cozy. I can't tell you how cozy we are.
Oh, well, I wish we could see how cozy you were, but that's not what audio podcasts are for. Where we explain audio podcasts to you in a very mansplaining kind of way is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncat.
Coming over now.
No, we don't do that, but we do
Tom
have a lot of fun.
Tom only does that in real life?
Yes, to me. Only then.
Yeah. And only me. After he's been inebriated for a little bit beforehand and not
once,
realizing
yeah. Once yep. Tom tried to mansplain, what was it, a sleeping bag to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that was my partner, Justin.
Oh,
right,
it was.
Right.
Yeah.
They tag
and
Tom
he still
sometimes.
Will just burst out laughing whenever he talks about
Tom mansplained PlayStation to you.
Oh, right. So,
yeah, video games. Yeah.
Do I look dumber than I feel?
No.
No, all right.
No.
Just checking.
No?
Of course not. No is the answer. So anyways, patreon.com, where when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Luna.
Thanks, Luna.
Luna.
Thank you,
awesome.
Luna.
Thank you.
Off the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Clearly, we're professionals just as much as your beautiful profile pictures suggest that you are.
Oh, this is an extremely slick operation.
Oh, yes, and we're drinking anyway, so we're barely going to notice.
Yes, we're on the mead today. It felt appropriate.
God, we're so jealous.
Love it. That's it. That's all I got. Now, fuck it. Let's play.
Hooray.
You don't even have a pen.
I don't have a pen.
Do
I
you
am
have
absolutely.
Notes? Usually, when Russ says notes, it's just a blank piece of paper. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I did run to the other room to get a blank piece of paper. It's all fine. We hear the sounds of the rushing waterfall and birds chirping. It's a beautiful day. It's not the middle of winter like it is right now for some of us who are recording this. Mooklim and Sully have been recruited of sorts by two wandering adventurers who have seen many, many things among the Forgotten Realms. And they are Gerira and, of course, we just said your name, but in
Yeaver.
Gerira and Yeaver.
Yeaver.
The five of you are on your way to the caves below the Quiet Keep. Now, these caves once housed what was known as the Voiceless Order, and they had down there an extensive wine collection in their root cellar, and an ossuary, and a treasury that's long since been locked away. And Yeaver and Gerira caught wind of this and were looking for some various adventurers to come help them along on their journey, and perhaps take care of any dangers that might live beyond the keep itself. During what was known as the Age of Storms, the voiceless monks that hid themselves in these caves from night raiders and unending rains, they locked themselves away and never emerged from the caves. We join them as they are rounding a bend. And up ahead, there is a very large cave structure that, as far as your map is concerned, is exactly where you need to be.
So do we think there's going to be, like, 100 monk skeletons in there? Because they just, like, never came out because it's kind of gross.
Are these normal monks? I mean, what is normal when it comes to monks? That's the question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I used to be a monkologist, actually. So, like, we're expecting some brown cloaks, probably okay. Some jewelry of some kind. They wear just gaudy shit.
Okay.
A likely
jewelry. It's my understanding that monks didn't, unless they're hiding it underneath their robes. Is that what we say?
Little known fact.
Bejeweled body.
Underneath, like, there's all sorts of stuff going on. You'd be surprised.
Bedazzled areas and things.
Oh, for sure. Nipples, bushes, great. The whole... Because they don't wear anything under that cloak, right? It's just all... But you got to adore...
Just gems. Like,
jewels, yeah.
Yeah.
I also have nothing under the cloak.
Is that you,
Yeah. Wow, thank you.
Yes, that's me, Yeaver. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yes,
that was very masculine.
I know much more about you than...
I enjoyed that.
...than I thought I would in this short time that we've been together.
I think it's important to lay things on the line...
I think you're supposed to be stupider than that. I had a look at your character profile.
I think it's important to lay things on the line.
That's the stupid version of that voice.
That's just the London accent version. I think you're being quite offensive.
It's a bit offensive, isn't it?
Yes.
Me tell you everything.
Right. Anyway, let's move on before Bernard upsets too many people. Oh, God, we're going to offend everyone. I can feel it.
Oh, gosh.
Especially people who like monks. And they're pretty vicious. Anyway.
You continue walking forward into this cave that is a very warm day, and it starts to cool off as you enter, and it narrows towards the end of this long corridor, tunnel, if you will, and there is a door that's in your path now. And on this door, as you get further in and your eyes begin to adjust to the darkness, there are many door handles on this door.
It's just unnecessary.
Talking like knobs, latch, like...
It's a bit superfluous, I think.
You look at them, and each knob in and of itself is a sculpture of what appears to be an animal or a monster. There is a red dragon, there is a chimera, a goblin, an aboleth, an orc face, and amongst all of these is a rusty, old, just regular door handle.
All right, are we talking these kinds or these kinds?
Or is it like a click and pull? Like, what do we got going on?
They are turnable knobs. Yeah, because these kinds and these kinds is great for audio.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I made lots of hand gestures.
While we're talking about what's happening for audio, Russ was describing grabbing two doorknobs, and he just was doing like weird boob stuff for that whole time he was explaining the doorknobs. So
welcome to the
party. So everyone knows. Glim's gonna get up real close to that dragon one and just
Look into its eyes and see what's going on.
Let's not do anything drastic.
Glim doesn't listen to you. She gets up and into the doorknob.
I'm not going to touch it or anything, but like, what if it like speaks to my dragonet soul or something?
You have a dragon soul.
Oh.
What's that do then?
Let's take a moment and describe the characters that you see around you.
Whoops. How did we... Are we paying you to come with us to these caves?
I would assume so.
Did we decide a fee?
I should hope. I'm sure we agreed.
Maybe we can barter
that
on the way
earlier.
Do a little barter.
Okay. We're just doing it for shits and giggles, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
And any monk bedazzled penis bones we can find.
Exactly. Is that the agreement? You want. I think so.
Great. Okay. Right.
So I am a dragonborn. So I look like a bipedal dragon.
Right.
And I'm very tall and strong, and just wait, I'm about to start proselytizing, probably any time, because I have a strong religious faith. So I'll just warn
Good
you
Lord.
In advance about that.
So are you huge? Are you absolutely huge?
Well, not as huge as Bernard, who is bigger, because he's
How big are these caves?
I am very big.
There will be some stooping involved, I think, as we go through the caves.
Okay.
A little bit.
Does one of the doorknobs... look like a gorilla, because that is your name, and that would be funny if it does look like a gorilla.
Only funny to you, Bernard. Sorry, Yeva, whatever your name is. Right.
So Moot is a half-orc, so he's humanoid, but he's got, you know, exaggerated features and kind of sharp fang teeth and greenish, kind of bluish skin, and he's, you know, he's just a normal-looking dude, but he just happens to be a half-orc.
Okay, right.
Sully is a halfling, so he's only like 3'5", so it's a wee.
Tiny.
Yeah, I'm a wee boy.
Hello.
Dark skin, brown hair, loves the earth tones.
And while we're describing characters, we might as well describe Guerrera and Yver as well, so we all know what the full family picture looks like.
What the hell am I? I don't know. Oh, I'm a bard. I'm a bard and a kender. Which I thought was a Kardashian. What is a kender?
A kender is akin to a halfling, a very small,
You're pretty small as well, then.
Right. Okay, so halfling. They're half a ling? What's a halfling?
Tell me what a full ling is like a normal sized person. And so a halfling.
Is just a short person.
Just a very short person.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeva, he's a very, very large chap. Goliath Barbarian. I mean, that's two very large things rolled into one. And he's got markings on his face a little bit like a tabby cat.
I think when they get to that size, they're a tiger, aren't they?
Oh, I suppose
they're
so.
A giant tabby.
Yes, like a big bald tiger person, so sort of humanoid tiger.
Oh, it's like that thing out of Star Wars.
Yes, Darth Maul. That's what he looks like. But a big hulking person, but I suspect rather sweet deep
Tabby.
Down somewhere. Mm. Yeah.
Looking back at the door, you look at the dragon doorknob, and it is very intricately carved. The detail on it, like down to the scale, is visible to you as you examine this. It is larger than the rest. It is carved from what appears to be a brass material.
Do you carve brass? I don't think you carve brass. I think you mold brass. Not that I'm being pedantic, sorry. Although it sounds like it could be worth something, so I reckon we just chip it off, sell it. End of campaign?
Should we have it?
Wait.
We could take them all on there when we go.
Well, yeah, hold on.
We don't
want to
carry it all the way in and all the way out. Should I just grab it?
No. Oh, my God. You guys, come on. Think critically.
I can't grab it.
Most of these, but what if the one that you turn is a monster you got to face on the other side?
I grabbed it.
Oh.
I grabbed it, everyone. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
There we go. You know, I'm just impulsive like that. Oh,
I think we go spelunking. Yeah.
Which
grab
one did
one.
You grab? The dragon.
The dragon.
The dragon.
Yes.
I want to know if Russ is doing an Indiana Jones with the plain one,
yes,
or a reverse Indiana Jones.
Right.
That's what I was.
It's
yes,
not
right.
the
is he
plain
thinking,
one.
Yes, you go. Do you, would you avoid the most obvious one because it's the most obvious one? Is
you
that
go for the
exactly.
one carved like Jesus?
I see.
Quite often he presents us with very straightforward things that we make needlessly complicated.
So. He's absolutely.
We spent a whole episode once trying to cross a bridge with a horse.
This is rough.
It was very difficult.
He's just absolutely desperate for us to just open the sodding door.
Yes. I mean, we're only at a door. Like, I think we need to go through, so I've just grabbed the dragon.
Yes, Magenta's grabbed the dragon.
I've grabbed the dragon. There's no going back now. I've grabbed it. Are we all dead now? What happens
yeah.
then?
Okay, so you grabbed it. You grabbed it and you turned it with the intent to open the door, yes?
Oh, just the intent to be annoying, really.
Okay.
You
wiggle it, you jiggle it. Yeah.
I think I succeed.
And the door opens, and there is a.
Yeah, that was easy.
It opens into a wide spaced room on the other side, carved into the mountain itself. And there are rows of dusty wine racks covered in cobwebs.
Why say we just live here?
I mean, we're probably not going to find anything better. We can take some of this, take all the doorknobs on our way out, and, like, is that good for you two?
Yeah, sounds great.
I can't even remember why we're here. I'm not going to lie to you. I was probably chasing a dog with a dish rag at the time.
I made notes. Voiceless order. I mean, who the hell are they? Oh, they're the monks, yes.
The monks, yes.
There's a treasury. I think maybe we should go to the treasury.
We start in wine cellar and then go to treasury.
Yes. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? You go to the pub, you have a few drinks, you go to the bank to get more money to buy some more drinks.
And the cycle continues.
Yes.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
You step into the room, all of you, and the door swings shut behind you.
Echo.
Ahead of you is a very dark chamber. I don't know who has night vision, dark vision.
I do.
Moot, you have visibility into the room, and there's a figure down at the far end. Seems to be standing, staring at you, not moving.
Okay. I'm going to pull out my journal, and I'm going to cast light on it so that it provides some light for everyone else.
The room illuminates, and you see all of these dust-filled, and there's wine bottles all throughout all of these shelves, and the figure doesn't quite come into view. Like, it's just like they're at the end of where the light is emanating from, and you can't quite make them out from where they are.
Russ, I rolled an 11 on my wild magic surge roll, so it should be good.
Okay, cool.
Sully's taking wine bottles and putting them into his bag.
Yeah. They're all full. They look like a good vintage. It was the 2486 vintage, obviously.
Of course, yep.
One of the best.
Yeaver is just standing and pointing at the figure,
not saying anything, but just standing and, you know, finger extended like in, you know, Donald Sutherland in Body Snatchers, just...
I've cracked open some of the wine.
Yeah, magenta's on the wine, yes.
You all see... I mean, there's... Hello? Hello?
They don't respond, but do move.
Oh my God, it's not a statue.
I wasn't expecting that.
I thought for sure it was a statue.
This figure begins to move towards you. It doesn't appear that they're walking. They're floating towards you, and they come into the light, and they begin to waver. It appears to be a ghost coming towards you.
Ooh. A force ghost.
He is see-through. I can see through him.
You're not much use, are you?
I just observe and comment on things that are happening before our eyes.
Why did you use your big, bulky hands to sort of wave it through the ghosty thing? Go on. Can you do that?
I can do an unarmed strike at the ghost.
Yeah, go on, attack,
fight the ghost. Punch a ghost, you. Do it.
I think this can't possibly go wrong.
Are you going to fight the ghost? Yeah.
Yes, fight the ghost. Yeaver does anything
slap,
I tell him
slap
to.
It in the face.
Fight the ghost, Yeaver.
Yes, all right, yes. Okay. I'm going to roll strength.
Nearing the bollocks.
Is that how it works?
You would roll for your unarmed attack. So
all
under...
Right, yes, unarmed attack. Here it is.
Click that, and it should roll a d20 for you.
So I have an... Oh, wow. A good one, an 18.
That'll kill that ghost
That'll learn it.
Yes, you strike the ghost, so roll damage for me now.
Yes, all right, yeah.
I hate ghosts.
5, I believe, is what it's given me.
You move forward expecting your arm to, like, go through this ghost, but instead it feels like it slows and you're driving your fist through it. Like, there's more of a substance there than you would have expected.
Ooh.
At the same time, so you deal the 5 damage to the ghost, but I would like you to make a wisdom saving throw.
My wisdom saving throw is 0, which is very on brand, isn't it?
Yes. So if you click the little, if you click the 0, should roll a dice for you as well.
Oh, it did. The end result.
The
was
end
0.
Result was 0. That was the
the end result was 0.
Yes.
We learned nothing. Does that mean?
One. You have got
so
a minus
we 1.
Okay. Great. Love it.
Yes,
fantastic. We're all there. So the ghost lets upon you its horrifying visage. So you are frightened for 1 minute, Yeaver. If it fails by 5 or more, which you did, Yeaver, can you roll me a d4?
Here it is. I've got it. Roll 2.
At the same time as you are frightened, everybody else notices and you begin to feel in your bones that you are aging forward 20 years.
Oh, my back is uncharacteristically stiff. Ooh.
Guy, you're not looking too good.
I have a sudden urge to retire.
I don't think anyone else should touch this ghost.
Yeah, I don't recommend punching the ghost. Anyone?
I think Eva's gotten better looking with age, though. You look better and better as the years go by, my dear.
Thank you.
Give it another punch.
A silver fox.
Another punch.
Go on. I bet you look even better as a pensioner.
Shall I punch the ghost
again?
No,
actually, don't.
I don't think that is going to progress matters. Oh, I'm very, very scared.
The ghost begins to move back a few steps and looks disappointed at you. And kind of shrugs, doesn't vocalize anything, and looks towards you expectantly.
So it's cast a disappointed look at us or at Yeva? Just
at
Yeva?
The group. Yeah.
Oh, at the group. Oh, I see. Oh, we've disappointed the ghost. Oh, dear.
I am a bad spokesperson for the group.
Are we supposed to care what this ghost thinks of us, though? Have we disappointed it? It's not my mother. What does it want? Why is it disappointed?
Can I pick up a rock on the floor and just chuck it at it?
But like an underhand toss, not like an aggressive throw, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely, you can.
Okay, I don't know what I'd roll for that.
Just roll a d20.
Roll for rock throw?
Well, that was an 8.
The rock just soars by the ghost.
Oh, good. Well, at least it made... Hey, I threw that a lot further than I thought I was gonna.
Wait, there was something about these monks. They didn't talk. What was the name? There was a proper name for
Voiceless.
Them.
Voiceless.
Right.
voiceless.
Oh, that is a big clue.
I for sure thought Tom was throwing at me to name the monks, and I was like...
Amy, over to you.
Scrumpville.
Sir or madam, I apologize for the punch.
Yeah, who do you think you are, my mother?
Hello.
Waves.
Anything.
Oh.
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Oh, we're back.
Okay.
Oh, I am adding guilt to my fear. He's a nice guy.
Can you just point us to the treasury?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need to...
Like, are you protecting anything? Or are you just kind of, like, hanging out?
Do we need to release your spirit from this earthly
unfinished
plane? Do you have
business?
Unfinished business?
We've all seen Casper.
He shakes his head.
Yeah, there's no point talking to ghosts. I've talked to a lot of ghosts. They've got nothing interesting to say. And then they're just so vague. Vague is a key tenet of a ghost's personality.
I mean, you always say if they have nothing interesting to say in life, they're very unlikely to have anything to say in death, really.
Exactly! I mean, whoever this guy was he worth talking to? I'm very charming, by the way, apparently.
Yes,
my character.
Apparently so.
Yeah. So I could try and charm him or something. Although he hasn't got any physical appendages. It's very hard to, my normal techniques won't work. I'm just saying that. But I could try. Do you want me to try? How does that work? What's happening?
What are you trying to do? You're trying to charm? You're trying to persuade the ghost to help you?
Yeah, or just to leave.
Make up for Yeaver's initial punch. Got it. Yes, make a... probably a persuasion check. So under your skills, you will find a list of different things that your character can do.
Persuasion, yes. That's
right.
25.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
God, I'm charismatic.
Damn. So freaking
you
charismatic.
You are so charismatic.
She's magnificent.
I am magnificent. So yes, also, yeah. So I say to him, oi, ghosty, come on, be useful. You useless wanker. And he's so charmed, he does something useful.
He does. He turns and begins to go back down the other way.
Should we?
Okay, so we'll just follow.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. Great.
You really got away with these ghosts.
We should have started with that.
You pass rows and rows of these shelves with wine all in them, some broken bottles, but for the most part, all filled. And you get down to the end of this row of shelves, and there are two directions to go. There's a left and a right. The ghost ushers you, as you are looking them, to your right.
Do we see anything down either of the halls, or they just look dungeony, cavey?
They appear dungeony. You don't see anything much beyond. There's a long tunnel that goes, but that's the way he ushers you, and... taking Guerrera's lead of how charismatic they are.
What's charismatic? The dungeon.
You, Guerrera. Yeah, you, Magenta, are charismatic.
How charismatic I am. Right, okay.
So we trust the ghost because it's so charmed.
Oh, I see.
By Guerrera.
Right, yes.
You could presume.
Sure. Yeah.
Why would he lie
to us?
Let's follow him.
Why not?
Let's follow Ghosty.
Is he going down or is he just like, and this is where I leave you?
Very much in that respect. Yeah.
Okay.
He's directing you down
guide.
This hallway.
How about we say you first, buddy, just in case there's any traps and he can,
he might just go for it.
He points to his imaginary watch like he has a scheduled appointment coming up.
Yeah. Oh, apologies.
Right. Okay.
The non-corporeal are pretty useless at setting off traps, too, yeah. So...
I thought you said he was viscous. What's his face?
Oh, that's a great point.
He punched him and he was viscous.
Yes, there was it was like punching custard.
Which you do a lot, don't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yes.
It's really
I've told you to
part
just
part of the
this.
Training regimen.
Yeah. So you wake up, eat several dozen eggs, then you go into
then
a long...
Then you make the eggs into a custard.
Exactly.
Into a
long
nice custard.
Routine of punching, of custard punching... And then that sets you up for the day.
Oh, yeah, it's like the slapping of the water, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because custard is a non-Newtonian liquid. Mm. Is this getting sidetracked?
No, this is perfect.
No, I'm adding this into my workout routine.
Good.
Zumba, like 100 push-ups and some custard punching. I'm going to be so much stronger than I already am.
If we have learned nothing else from this encounter, in the place with the custard man, then we have learned some good workout tips.
Don't tell Hillip about it, though. He's going to want to merchandise some custard.
No, he'll start a whole new franchise, and then it... Don't yeah, no, no. Let's just keep it between us.
It's a private routine.
It's a private workout routine.
We cut to an office space somewhere, and Hillip is writing at his desk, and he's like, somewhere, somebody's talking about me coming up with a great idea. I'll jot it down. Okay. And then we cut back. You all proceed forward at the ghost direction. Everybody make a perception check, please.
Nat 20.
So perception would be under your skills again, Magenta and Bernard.
Yes, 17. I'm very perceptive.
10.
This is surprisingly perceptive for me. A 14.
Excellent.
Even a stopped clock tells the right time, sometimes.
You all begin forward, and in your path is two sets of skeletons in monk robes. One of them with, as you see it, Guerrera, there is a note or a piece of paper sticking out of one of the pockets.
Right. That's handy, isn't it?
Take Dying a peek under the tent there.
Right. Oh, what? As in, let's have a look at his jewels, his family jewels. You know, I think I'll just have a look at the note.
I'm going to rummage the dead
bodies. Because I'll only be disappointed. The chances are, you know, you lift someone's robes. And also, you know, permission. He's not around, is he?
That's true.
His notes.
Mm, yes.
It's true.
Although I am going to steal everything he owned and take this note as well.
You can make an investigation check for your rooting. As you read the note, Sully is looting the bodies. The note says...
That's very disrespectful.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. The note says, Dia, please help Jaren set up his contraption in the ossuary tonight. And remember, the ladder is broken in the root cellar. If you need to get into the lower caves, there is an extra ossuary key on the root cellar shelf.
These are too many facts to remember.
Too many words. What's an ossuary?
I think that's where they keep the ostriches.
Yes, makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, we should avoid that. Ostriches are like
they've got a
big and mean,
hell of a
and
kick.
They're one of the most dangerous birds on earth.
Yeah, and they can run so fast. I think we probably should just avoid the ostrichuary as much as we can.
Okay, guys, by the sounds of this, we gotta go into the root cellar that has the broken ladder, get a key, and then go to the ostrichuary anyway.
But I mean, do we?
Well, I
but
don't
we,
know.
Yeah, what if we don't
I
have
submit,
to do that?
Do we? Because we're looking for the treasury, and this sounds like some sort of bird business. I'm not sure this is exactly what we're looking for.
I want to look in other pockets.
Good point.
For, like, any more notes?
Where's the contraption again? So we can't get to the contraption.
In the ostrich.
In the ostrich.
And there's two ostriches. There's two of them.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Sounds like
how many? What, are they keeping them separate because they keep fighting? Is that the problem?
In mating season, though, you don't want them. You don't want to be in the room with a breeding pair of.
Yes, right. Yeah.
They're probably long dead, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The idea of them being dead makes me so much more sad than these guys over here, because it's like they left them and then just didn't feed them.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah,
oh,
they didn't make
God,
a choice.
That's terrible.
Sully, you find 3 gold coins and a bottle of wine.
Fuck yeah. I put those in my pocket.
Oh, well, that's cheered us up. You know, we were sad about the ostriches. Hey. Now we're like, fuck them.
Right? Fuck them. I got 3 gold coins. I can buy a new ostrich.
I want to know what the contraption is. It's almost as if it was meant to be intriguing. Shall we go and find out what it is? Yeah.
We sure. Should. Yeah. I mean, this is your rodeo.
You're right. All right, let's go. And I reckon we don't need the ladder. We'll just go straight there and figure out a way to get up to it.
I am very large. You may climb me.
There we go. Yes, we'll climb Yiva.
Perfect.
Are you continuing the way the ghost had ushered you to go?
I mean, we don't know any other way to go.
That's
so,
fine.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, I should ask, is there one of those things on the wall with like a fire escape route?
No.
Okay, well, never hurts
Gosh.
To ask.
Oh, what? Like a little map saying where to go?
Mm.
Oh, that would be handy.
Wouldn't that be handy? They never put them in these dungeons, do they?
They never do.
You very rarely find a map.
That's why you find a load of skeletons in these places, because they're all going, where's the bloody exit? We don't know. We don't have a map. You know, so they just perish.
They could save themselves a lot of cleaning. All these skeletons lying around. Some very, very simple health and safety requirements.
You continue forward down the tunnel that the ghost led you, and after about 40 or 50 feet, you end up in what appears to be a room full of stacks of dirty barrels and crates covered in moss.
So it's a bit damp down here, then.
I was going to say, is it a moist cave? What is this?
Goodness me.
It is a moist cave. Could be a root cellar.
Oh. What do you keep in a root cellar? Roots? Is this... Do you keep roots in a root cellar?
Are we just
going to
find...
Cellar?
We're going to find carrots and
potatoes.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and if it's moist.
Last year's apples.
They're probably doing quite well if it's moist. Oh, there's no light, though, is there? Is there a light source?
Well, I think they've already been harvested. So, like, dark is good.
Dark is good.
Is it dark?
It is dark. And as...
Mushrooms like the dark.
And as you enter, you hear the sound of... What sounds like rummaging in some sort of and with it's grotesque, and it's like there's flesh tearing from somewhere in this cellar.
Apologies.
Oh, is that you?
Yes, sorry.
Did you fart into your moist trousers?
Guy, it's close quarters in here.
It is a small room, and I am a you large made it rummaging smaller. Person. I made it smaller. There may also be some rummaging that is not me here.
Moo, could you, like,
light it up?
Turn, yeah. Turn on the lights.
Are we just stumbling around in the dark? Is that what's going on?
Well, I mean, I have my book that's lit up, but it's not super bright. But I hold it higher.
Like, you're just holding your cell phone, and you haven't turned the flashlight part on. You're just
it's essentially
the
that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Could you have made it brighter this whole time?
Well, I mean, I could hold it higher. That's about all I can do.
Why didn't
it.
We come in here with a bloody torch, like a flaming torch? You go into a cave system without anything. What a bunch of morons. Anyway,
well, hold on. What if there was some off gases or something that was flammable?
Oh, yeah.
Let us immediately light a big fire.
Let's test this theory.
You lift the light higher, and there are many boxes and things which are obscuring your view. But as you do so, you see the heads of these big-eared, almost monkey-shaped creatures that poke their heads up, and they have blood all over their face. And they let out this hideous scream, and four of them shoot up into the air and move down to attack you.
What have they been eating?
Welcome to the middle. We got fun and games. We got monkey monsters, and they're gonna eat your brains.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
you
I didn't
guys.
I mean, that's one of our better ones.
Very good.
So turned on. Wow. You rhymed in all the right places for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
You really did it, Russ.
Fantastic.
I'm so proud of you.
I have been just lying in wait for 6 years.
That's right. It's all been building to this.
Finally cashing in your monkey brain material.
It's been sitting on the back burner just collecting until this point.
When can I pull that out?
That's right. We are here with, everybody's here, but we're here with Madame Magenta and Bernard, who have joined us for this lovely episode. And we just, in the middle, we tell our listeners all about the great things that we have going on. But instead of talking about us, we're going to talk about you and all of the great shows that you have, because we love them all so very much.
Well, yeah, thank you very much.
Shall I tell them what our shows are?
Yes, you're keeper of the brain. You do it.
All right. So you can listen to our show, Madame Magenta Sonos Mystica, in which Magenta reads from her book. And we also...
Oh, and we answer listener problems as well?
Yes, listeners write to us, and we use the powers of bibliomancy and so on to solve their problems. And we also have a new show, Magenta Presents, which is a horror anthology series. And that is hosted by Magenta herself.
That's right.
God, I'm so excited for that.
How scary is
so
the
excited.
Horror?
I'm going to risk it.
I'm more
I don't
asking
even
for
care,
Carla.
You guys.
I don't care how scary it is.
It's going to veer wildly all over the place. So the first one is the first horror that we're presenting is a 5-episode drama called Ghosted. And I would say it's actually a bit scary.
It's actually, you know, out of 10, it's at least an 8.5 on the fearometer.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Wow. It's actually quite scary. And then after that, we'll probably have some, you know, some fun.
Oh, yes. Lots of different, wildly varying quality in quality.
Children's,
very good.
All excellent. But yes, some are in the, you know, the comedy horror. the children's horror, and some
children's.
Are, oh yeah, maybe.
Oh no, we're not doing that.
Oh no, we're not doing that. No,
children's
okay.
So, horror.
But yeah.
How are we supposed to comment on children's horror with our normal disgusting panache?
That's true.
Yeah.
So no, we won't do any children's.
No,
horror.
No, it's all adult.
Adult horror, but yes, some scary, some not.
Love it. And the framework of the show is Magenta part of the entire story, or is this like a Tales from the Crypt kind of vibe where Magenta?
Yes, Tales from the Crypt. So we introduce it. I might even do a little poem or something. Mm. Probably not. That sounds like a lot of effort. I'll just introduce it, Bernard and I will. And then at the end of it, we'll have a little book club where we talk about it.
Yes, we go, wasn't that fun and interesting?
Oh, fun. Yes. Will there be a cocktail? I've really enjoyed trying some of your cocktails.
Oh, did you? And you're still here to tell the tale.
Gosh.
Well, some, yeah, they were varying quality.
Did you like the savory ones the best?
The savory was interesting.
Mm, yes. Memorable, those ones, aren't they?
Memorable, yes.
Yes.
You get... Chewy.
Mm.
Yes.
Not usually what I look for in a cocktail.
No.
Oh,
no.
You haven't lived until you've tried Magenta's savory cocktails.
Mm.
High cheese content.
Oh, boy.
If gravy isn't included as one of the ingredients, what are you even doing?
Oh, yes.
Is it even really a cocktail at that point?
Love it. Go check out Magenta Presents, which by the time this is released, at the very least, the first episode will be out, if not more. And all of their other series, Madame Magenta, Sonos Mystica, and Mockery Manor.
Mockery Manor, yes, we're in that as well.
I got thrown because there wasn't a Magenta as part of that. Maybe season four will be Magenta Presents Mockery Manor.
Oh, gosh. Why not?
I mean, I'm basically like infiltrating every single podcast.
Yes. Oh, yes, it's the Magentaverse.
Yes, it's the MCU.
Yes.
Magenta Cinematic Universe, you see.
Love it. Yeah. And now we'll get you back to the episode. Thanks so much for being here with us. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Love you, bye.
Bye.
Let's roll for initiative.
How tall is this situation?
Yeah, like... This one is probably 10 or 12 feet tall.
Okay.
Yep.
Cavernous.
Initiative.
Initiative, yes.
Ah, yes, I found it. It's all right, I've got it, yes. Right.
Are we all doing it?
We're all doing that.
Yeah, okay. Everybody, yes.
15 for Selly.
19 for Yeva. Scoring surprisingly good for all of the intelligence and initiative things.
And you knew that fact about custard as well.
Yes.
Maybe it's because you got older.
Mm. I got older and so...
And wiser.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
13. I threw a 13.
Thank you.
10 for Glim.
8 for Moot.
My God, Sully's going second. I need to look at my sheet.
Yeah, get your stuff. So Yeaver, you see these as Moot lifts the light and outlines the room a little bit more. See these monsters... creatures coming towards you, and they look more vicious than the ghost did as it was proceeding towards you. It is your turn in initiative, which means you can choose to attack or reason with, if you so desire, the monsters before you.
Holy shit.
Punch him.
My one part of me that is now wise thinks I should reason with them. But then...
Are you very good at that kind of thing?
My true essence is all about punching things.
Yeah.
So I will punch the monkey monsters.
Like they're custard.
Custard punching...
Punch him into custard.
I'm going to go for the great axe, because it's great. And it'll probably... I mean, it's the clues in the name, isn't it?
It's not a mediocre axe for a reason.
No, I wouldn't go for that one.
So you click your +7 to see if you hit...
Let's see. Come on. 23.
Yes.
And then roll some damage.
You were right. I should not attempt to reason.
Oh, that's not very good. Or is it good? 8.
8's good.
8's all right. Oh, good. Jolly good.
Yeah, 8's good. You swing forth and catch one of these monkey creatures and cleave it in two, and it screams as it is thrown to the ground.
Holy shit.
Take that, custard monkey.
Screams very briefly, I imagine, if it's just been cleaved in two. Unless both parts are still screaming.
Did they really need us?
Why did they hire us to come and protect them? I don't think
people
they need our help.
People are fucking amazing. Holy shit.
Well, that's because we're going to feed you to the... Oh, no, nothing. Sorry, I didn't say anything.
Were we about to tell them?
No, shush. Shush.
Okay, all right.
You do have the option to attack a second time with your character.
Sure. Never say no to that. Maybe we should leave one alive so we can torture it for some time. Maybe get secrets out of it.
It's not very nice.
I was going to say put a leash on it.
I'm not sure about that. Yes. No, no, Eva. Just a good clean kill.
All right. No, actually, I don't think so. I think let's see what these custard monkeys are all about.
But there's two left, aren't there? How many are there? These
there are three left.
There are three left.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, maybe let's... Well, we already outnumber them. And I think we've sent a demonstrated a show of strength by cleaving one of them in half. Okay. So I think the others might be inclined to sit up and pay attention, don't you?
Shall we scream, ready to talk now?
Yes.
At them? Yeah, just
who's next, mother fudgers?
No, it's not who's next.
No one's
unless,
next.
Unless you're going to talk to us.
Yeah, yes. You have tremble at my mighty strength.
They continue to scream at you.
But are they charging forward?
Yes, continually. Yes.
These custard monkeys are annoying.
Sully, it is your turn.
Sully's going to take his staff of the adder and use it once to try to whack one. And then I'm like going to fucking like make it the snake thing. I haven't done that
What's
yet.
That?
I don't know. Let's find out together.
The snake thing.
17 to hit.
17 will hit.
Are we turning them from monkeys into snakes? Because I'm not sure snakes are
no,
any better.
Oh, no.
Is that an improvement?
This dick can do good stuff. Yeah, hold on. Oh, fuck me.
Classic Amy.
Two damage.
You hit it, and it knocks it to the ground, but it's still crawling towards you, looking up at you, screaming
okay,
in your direction.
Okay, well, I'm going to use a bonus action, because that was embarrassing. I had to follow what... what this giant Goliath just did, and I'm desperate for approval. So I'm going to speak the staff's command word, which he hadn't actually thought of just until right now. So it's like, I think he's going to shake and go, come on, you damn thing. That's going to be it. And the head of the staff is going to become an animate poisonous snake. And then I can use another bonus action to put it away if I want to. But now the snake gets a turn. And I'm going to just push it like at the
okay,
at so the thing. They, and it's, yeah. And it's going to try to bite him.
So the staff turns into what was a wooden staff now turns into an
animate. It has
animate,
the head of a snake. Yeah, not the whole thing.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the head turns into a snake.
Oh, well, no, it doesn't. Now I'm just like rubbing my
You're rubbing your
snake on him.
You're rubbing your snake on the monkey down on the ground.
Nobody asked for this.
I mean, it's not the first time this has happened with Sully.
You see, when I do that, it is considered vulgar.
Well, I get asked to leave the bar when I do that.
Does that make me the monkey?
The monkey creatures. It's their turn.
Is this one at least confused?
It is very confused. And all of them they begin to try and surround you and increase the volume of their scream. Everybody make a constitution saving throw.
Ugh.
Ooh. What's that?
We must save the constitution.
16.
15.
Maybe they all just want to have a snake rubbed on them. And that's what they're asking for now.
Who doesn't?
14.
13.
I have rolled a 4.
Dude.
4. Okay.
You're tired, Eva.
Eivor is the only one to fail. You are now stunned.
Yikes.
Oh my god.
A stunned creature is considered incapacitated, can't move, and can speak only falteringly. You automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws until you are no longer stunned, and attack rolls against you have advantage.
Oh, hang on.
Yes, Eva can't protect us.
Eva's the one who's stunned.
I'm the one who's truly screwed.
You just
can't
believe it. You're
stunned. Oh, you're old and now you can't move.
Oh, this is so bad.
They rush towards Eva as Eva collapses onto the ground.
Ow.
I'll protect you.
Gurira, it's your turn.
Is that me?
That's you.
Good.
That's you, Magenta. Yeah.
I'm going to protect you, Eva. I'm going to sing them a song. Because that's one of my skills, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Right. So I play the lute and stuff.
You can play the lute.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm going to sing a beautiful song. They're going to be so amazed by my performance, they'll stop and rethink all of their life choices.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You're trying to distract them with song.
Distract
so that they don't eat Yeaver. Love it. So make a performance roll, please. It'll be under your skills.
21. See, I'm bloody good.
Excellent.
That's a whole musical, that is. That's a full-length musical.
We've all sat down to watch. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Under your abilities, you do also have the option to taunt during this performance. So you could taunt the creature. They would have to make a saving throw, but if they do not succeed, they get disadvantage on their next attack.
Hang on, do you mean taunt like... You're a silly Billy.
You put some flavor into it.
So you're singing beautifully.
Why would I do that? What, like I'm halfway through Hello Dolly and I suddenly break off to go?
Yes, it becomes
you smell of cheese and onion crisps.
It becomes a diss track halfway through.
Right. I mean, I could do. It's a bit weird, but yeah, why not?
He's on board, isn't he?
Yeah, let's have a look. Taunt. I mean, what a strange thing to do.
You just have to say you do it. Tell me how you do it.
All right. Okay, that's fine.
Throw them off their game.
Right. Okay, so I start questioning exactly what brought them into a dungeon. They were in a barrel, weren't they? So what sort of path has led them here? So my taunt is basically sort of, oh dear, you've gone the wrong way down your life's path, haven't you? Oh dear. So there's a bit of sympathy in there as well, which I think is worse.
That's
isn't
even
it?
Worse.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Devastating. Disappointment. Yeah. In
yes, that. Yes. I put a slightly maternal kind of regret on my face, and absolutely kills them.
As they begin to try to tear into Yeaver's flesh, they stop and pause for a moment and consider their life choices. Seeing the disappointment in your own eyes and pause for a moment. It has appeared to succeed. Glim.
Okay. I am going to attack one of them with the Vorpal Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's a 27.
Okay.
It was a terrible roll, so that's 9 damage. And then as a bonus action, I'm also going to do Ensnaring Strike. So because I hit them, writhing mass of thorny vines appears at the point of impact, and they need to make a strength saving throw or else they are restrained by those magical vines.
Just the individual creatures?
Yes.
Okay.
God, we come into their house.
That's right.
We sing at them. We cleave them in two.
That's not very nice, is it?
No, it's horrible. This whole thing, it's amoral. Anyway, sorry, go on.
There are two creatures on top of Yeaver, and you cleave through one of them and hit part of the other one, and these vines shoot up and grab the one that is still alive and pull it to the ground. So you've killed one.
Perfect. It will take damage on its next
Perfect.
Turn if it is still thornily trapped to the ground.
Moot. The one is thornily trapped to the ground. One is being rubbed upon by a snake. And those are the only two remaining.
I forgot about that one. That's
I'm just over here being like, you like this?
100% forgot about that one.
So it wasn't a quick rub. This rub is going on for bloody ages.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant.
Good Lord.
So he's getting quite chafed.
The stamina involved.
I would assume so.
I'll take my dagger, which is out of Moot's normal realm of things, and I'll slash at the one that's being trapped by the vines.
Okay.
Do I get advantage on that?
You do, because it is restrained.
It was a nat 20 on the second one.
And that's why advantage is good, like 1% of the time.
Well, the first one, was a 3 before bonus, so we'll use that. All right. Double damage coming your way, Russ.
Okay.
Haven't had to roll a d4 when there's damage involved in a very long time.
Be prepared to be underwhelmed.
9 damage in total, Russ. 9 damage.
Okay. It's restrained on the ground. So Moot, seeing the entire scene around, runs and, like, superhero lands this dagger right into this creature. Yeah.
Yep. Style points through the roof.
The echoing of its scream dies down. There is one remaining. It is Yeaver's turn. Yeaver, you are stunned on the ground. Creatures were blasted back off of you. You can make a constitution saving throw to try to knock yourself out of your stun.
All right. Well, the creatures bounced back off me. They were thrown back when they tried to attack me.
Well,
Where is that?
Yeah.
With the help.
Oh, you killed them, of course.
Yes. Yeah,
teammates.
All right. So, no, I thought I was doing better than I was there. All right. Well, I'll roll a constitution throw at 4. That's not terribly good, is it? Oh, dear.
No, you're still stunned.
I'm not contributing much to the party.
You started really.
Well, you cleaned that one in half right away.
I did, didn't I?
Yes.
Sully, we're back to you.
Is the monkey that Sully's snake is nuzzling still screaming, or is it just
it's screaming for a different reason. Yeah.
It hasn't accepted. It hasn't reached a point of just like, well, I suppose this is my life.
That's okay.
It is. Yeah. It is backing away as Sully is rubbing it with the snake.
I'm going to try to bite it with the snake head again. This fucking thing won't work. Son of a fuck. Is it? Hold on. Do I have
No, this is what happens. So Sully, Amy rolled a natural one, which is bad.
I mean, she is a halfling and can re-roll that.
Shut your face, Tom. This is better. So what happens is, what happens is if we don't re-roll.
It doesn't work in the cave, apparently. So,
hold on. Wait. In this first play out, before you re-roll that, is the monkey grabs the staff and turns it on Sully and begins rubbing the snake on Sully.
Oh, you're right. That was better.
This is much better. Yeah.
He falls to the ground. Yeah. Just in fits of laughter.
But you do get bitten by your...
It's attuned to me. My snake will... Oh, fuck off.
It's okay. It rolled bad. It rolled a natural one as well. So hey. Now so it's just flip-flops.
It is attuned to you.
So the scene plays. You're running around chasing this monkey, rubbing your snake.
The Benny Hill theme tune plays.
Yep.
The monkey chases you, and now you're chasing the monkey again.
All the while rubbing my snake?
All the while rubbing your snake upon the monkey. Yeah.
We're going to have to get HR involved.
Yeah. That's
what Peter Gabriel's song Shock the Monkey was actually about.
Oh, yes.
This monkey's turn.
Rub the monkey.
This monkey's turn, and it is going to try to flee. You may make an opportunity attack.
Yeah, fuck this guy. I guess. Let's try one more time.
One more time. It's
the only time I've ever used this. How could it go wrong? The last. Can you go just fuck yourself? That was a three.
Plus anything?
One. Plus one.
That's a plus one.
Yep. I know.
The snake makes one feeble attempt to try and grab. It's been rubbed up all over the place.
It's tired.
The
monkey put me back.
Shoots its wings out and flies back down the way you came.
Aha! Yeah. And don't come back.
Oh, I didn't even know they had those.
They had wings?
Yeah. Yeah. I did describe them with wings flying up and towards you.
You did. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we got caught up with rubbing snakes.
I mean...
things were happening.
And don't come back, you filthy monkey bat.
You look around and survey the scene. Yeaver is still stunned. Somebody may go and try and help them.
Ooh.
I could. Shall I slap him awake?
Yeah.
Would that help? Or sing? I could do the Whiz in honor of the monkeys.
Yeah.
Sing. I could do a full rendition of the Whiz.
All right.
You can't win.
I don't actually know the Wiz.
Oh, that's a song from the Wiz.
Yeah,
okay. Yeaver helps by singing along, and then you manage to...
You can't win.
You manage to rouse them from their stunned state.
What did I miss? Is the snake still rubbing the monkey?
No, and Sully kind of shakes it, and it becomes just a stick again. He puts it away.
Ooh.
The crates are empty, or they appear sealed.
You want to look around? Obviously, let's roll some initiative. Investigation for anybody who wants to search through.
Yeah.
Okay. 11.
Didn't the monkeys have like blood-stained mouths?
Yeah.
They did.
What were they eating then?
Yeah. So is there like a dead or dying creature?
Great question.
You take some time. You immediately, for those who immediately go, you go and look over where the monkeys were when you came in, and you find a disemboweled goblin on the other side. Looks like it had been feasted upon by the monkeys who you interacted with upon your arrival.
Flamykins?
How did I just kill off Flamykins?
No.
No, definitely not.
Okay, yeah, the goblin wakes up for a brief moment, says, nope, not Flamykins, and then dies completely. Yeah.
Because it's now also a ghost.
That's right. Yeah.
I close its eyes and say, Bahamut, bless you.
The eyes pop back open.
How many times does she do it?
I will close his eyes.
after 13 times, Yeaver comes and...
rip his eyelids off.
Caves in the skull from the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is what it sounded like.
No, eyes are closed.
Sully just puts the lid back on. All right, nobody needs to look in there.
Looking through the barrels and crates, you find potatoes. You also find a skeleton clutching a key and a secondary note.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So the potatoes haven't rotted, but the man has.
Yeah.
Special potatoes.
Oh, special potatoes.
Magical potatoes.
Here, I want to take the note. Can I read it?
Are these magical potatoes?
I want to take one magic potato.
Yes, I would like a magical potato.
Okay, we got a second note. Darren, please get yams and a bottle of dandelion wine for dinner, but do not shuffle your feet when you go through the ossuary. Naylin is rigging his noise-activated trap in case the night raiders come again. Okay.
Oh, that's the contraption, is it?
Oh, so we have to be quiet when we go to the ostriguary.
It sounds like it. Number one, because, yes, you know, the birds. Number two, because, you know, the trap.
Noise-activated rigmarole trap.
I think I would be the perfect candidate to go and blunder loudly into that room.
I have plus one stealth. I think I would as well. Let's go in. I might have to sing show tunes to make myself feel better while I could do
that. That will also help.
I guess we take that key also.
Oh, a key. I missed that bit.
As you finish examining the room, you do find that there is a door in the floor, and you lift it, and there appears to be a ladder that goes down 3 or 4 feet and is broken.
But it only goes down 3 or 4 feet?
Well, the ladder itself only goes down 3 or 4 feet.
And there is a long...
What a pointless ladder.
Okay, we need someone with good arm strength that can go down and then just hang on the last rung, and then the rest of us can crawl down them.
Can we see how deep it is?
Yeah.
I imagine it's the giant, isn't it? You fella.
Moot, throw your book in.
Oh, you know, I go bat, and then I turn into a bat and I fly down there.
You go bat now.
That's clever.
What do you see down there?
Bat?
Because you can even see in the dark.
I unbat when I get down to where the floor is because, you know, bats are good at telling where things are, and then I shout back up with however deep it is.
Okay, you go down into this into this hole in the floor, and for everybody else, it's very dark down there. The bat goes down, you see him, you kind of lose sight as
zipping around. Did you leave someone with your book, or did you just plunge us all into darkness?
Darkness.
Okay.
So, retraction, Moot goes bat now, light disappears. He goes down into the hole. What Moot you see as a bat is you get down into this wide open chamber. There appears to be a natural landform bridge off into one direction. There is a landing point, which looks like where the ladder itself would have gone. And as you go down and you're using your echolocation, you hear movement along all of the walls of this space.
All right, well, now that I know there's movement, I'm going to change what happened.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 145, starring Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, with Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master, and special guests Lindsay Sharman as Madame Magenta playing Guerrera, and Lawrence Owen as Bernard playing Yeaver. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound, Artlist, and Kevin MacLeod, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Kayla Littlejohn, L.A. Branton, Cosmic Octopus, Ongeron Kirzen, Nathaniel Teeter, Old School Gamer D, Destiny Garcia, Jordan Anderson, and Louis Hayes. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where this month we're holding our first live show of the year on March 28th, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, and all patrons get in. Join us today, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. That's it for now. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. You do have, hold on, let me, fix that for you.
You gave him a weapon.
Yeah, I did give him a weapon. Like, hold on.
I mean, punching's good.
I have unarmed strike as my only option.
Okay,
currently.
give a give a refresh to your page there.
Gosh, a whole new mechanic.
Ooh. And you should have.
Good lord.
Weapons.
I'm carrying an absolute arsenal of weapons now.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Meet Pia Casely, a journalist with a nose for a good story.
Do you know who the last person to interview Julie Capson was? Me.
Meet Brenda Bentley, a dogged detective with a case she can't let go.
Nobody came closer than I did, and that's why I was kicked off the force.
Together, they solve the cold cases no one else can.
That's when things got weird. And we haven't even gotten to the torso yet.
If they don't kill each other first, that is.
Well, you've got another thing coming.
You know, I think it's you got another thing coming.
Or perhaps there's something else between them.
Well, if the feeling's mutual, call it a mutual feeling.
Arden, a podcast about crime, romance, and everything else. Season 1 and 2 now available. Brought to you by Wayface Industries. The good people.